But I got so much from it that it just got me to thinking. And I was quiet, and God, see, my patience is really improving my patience. And I always quiet and listen. The reason I listen, because I couldn't get a word in edgewise if I was a talker. But it was good. And the question, and I was listening to Sister Spellman, Janice, not the other one, not the older one, the young one. And she was saying, and doing her course of just, I guess, talking about how God, what God has done and what he's doing for her, and I listened to several of the others. And by just listening to that, and she said one thing that started me on the line of a different line, train of thought. She said that she patterned her life by watching us as pastors. And I thought, and I says, you know, that's admirable. That goes to show we are representing God before people, and somebody is paying attention. Then she said about our relationship, Linda and my relationship, for the years and that we've been married and still maintaining, still doing, and still fulfilling our purpose that God has us to fulfill. And I thought about this couple that lived in our neighborhood. And when they were just, I guess they were maybe 10 years older. They're probably Pastor Scott's age. And how every time, when we first moved in the neighborhood, every time I would see them, they both would be together. So they encouraged me in a positive light, because I thought it was, I said, man, this many, I don't know how many years they've been married, but it has to be pretty close to 50 or better now. And they, when I see one, and if the other is well and end up doing well and up and able to travel, they're always together. And I thought that was a blessing. Then I thought, what else does God have to do before he returns? And you know what it is? Absolutely nothing. We talk about wars and rumors of wars. That's been going on for ages. Do we need a World War III? Is he waiting for a World War III to show up before he comes? No. We talk about people and how they act. We talk about how the government has stirred away from God. And I'm looking for them to call in all our old money and print new money. Without God we trust. Is he waiting for that? No. Is he waiting for Linda now to be another testimony for another couple that's planning on getting married? No, he is not waiting for that. He is not waiting for any of that. God, which is my title today, what if Jesus came today? And while you're on that note, let me see how you're hearing, and just get that adjusted. There's a story about an old nun who was living in a convent next to a construction site, and she noticed the course of language of these construction workers, and she decided to spend more time with them to correct their ways. So she decided she would take her lunch, sit with the workers, and talk with them. She put her lunch in a brown paper bag, and she walked over to the spot where the men were eating. She walked up to the group with a big smile and said, "Do you men know Jesus Christ?" They shook their heads, looked at each other. One of the workers looked up into the steelwork, the place that they were putting together and building, and he yelled, "Anybody out there know Jesus Christ?" One of the steel workers asked, "Why?" The worker yelled, "His wife is here with his lunch." So y'all's ears are ready. I'm starting y'all on a good note, because you may not be so happy with me before I finish. What if Jesus came today? Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho. I'm reading for the New American Standard. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacharias. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacharias was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him meaning Jesus, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacharias, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacharias stopped and he said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." A lot of us remember, most of us remember Zacharias, the story of Zacharias, and for no other reason, you know, he was a little guy. And today, we would say, if we were to see him, he would, knowing that he was a grown old man, being as tall and as small as he is, we would say he is vertically challenged. There are a number of other things we learn about him from the passage I just read. One thing, he was wealthy. He was a tax collector. And most importantly, he desired to see Jesus. Now, from the onset, this man didn't know Jesus at first. He probably heard of him. But I'm going to focus on verse 5. It says, "When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacharias, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" Did you catch that? Jesus said, "Today I must abide at your house." When I was young, we used to play this game called hide and seek. And after we count to whatever the number was back in those days, after we count, and before we would move out from this tree that we were hiding our head and sheltering ourselves from, we would say, "Ready or not, here I come." Jesus tells Zacharias to come down from the tree because he was coming to visit his house. We are really told why Jesus said this. And we do know that Jesus went home with Zacharias that day. And his life was never the same. May I say this morning that if Jesus comes to your house, so to speak, your life will never be the same again. You all probably heard this poem before, and I think I first heard it a few years ago, at least parts of it from my mother. It asked the question, what if Jesus came to your house today? If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. I know you would give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and the food that you serve him would be the very best. You'll keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own house is a joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with his arms stretched out in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Would you have to change your clothes before you let him in, or hide the magazines to put the Bible where the Bible had been? Would you hide your worldly music to put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush about? I wonder if the Savior spent a day or two with you. Would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Or would life for you continue as it is from day to day? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet your closest friends? Or would you hope they stay away until the visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when at last he was gone? It might be interesting to know that the things that you would do if Jesus came in person to spend some time with you. What if Jesus came today? Have you ever thought about it? If Jesus came today, let me share some thoughts from the Bible about what would happen. First of all, we know that Jesus is coming back. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." And then we had the question, when? The question is soon. Revelations 22 and 12 says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to render my every man according to what he has done." And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." If Jesus came today, what would you do? In John 14 and 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Then you ask, what is taking so long? Well, in 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." What if Jesus came back today? Well, the dead in Christ will be raised. And we know that from 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Notice the phrase "dead in Christ." Paul is talking about those who have accepted Christ and then passed away. For the believer, death is only a passing from this world to be with God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says that we are good carriage, and prefer rather to be present, to be absent from the body, and to be at home with the Lord. The grave for the believer is not a place of despair. It is a place of hope. When the Lord returns, he will resurrect all those who are dead in Christ. Living believers will escape death. 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, "Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord." Y'all remember the Methuselah, the oldest man in the Bible? He lived for, I think it was 929 years, but he didn't escape death. I don't care how long he lived. Solomon, the wisest man in the Bible, but he wasn't smart enough to escape death. Samson, the strongest man in the Bible, but he wasn't strong enough to escape death. Only two people, Elijah and Enoch, were taken to heaven before they died. But the Bible teaches us that those who are alive when Jesus returns at the rapture will be changed, transformed, without death. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will rise imperishable, and we will be changed. Believers will be, unbelievers will be lost forever. What if Jesus came today? That is something to think about. If death finds us, so shall eternity. I think about that more and more, and I guess because I'm getting older, and the things that I used to do, I've gotten over those things, and I begin to spend more time listening to the Lord. And one thing that life, to me, I guess everybody, I guess when you get a certain age, when you get a Sister Scott's age, you sort of you sort of take more attention. This is picking on Mother Scott Day. Because she looks so good at her age. It seems that life has become more precious. It seemed like it's only a short time. It seemed like just a few years ago I was in my 20s, and seemed like now I'm approaching Mother Scott's age. And and you see I'm walking over here now. She's holding that pin. and it's just, you know, we have to live a life that if God come at that moment, we'll be ready. We have to live our life because so much is happening. People are that went to bed last night didn't wake up this morning alive. People that are in perfect health, gone on vacation, and they didn't come back because of an accident. Who would have thought going to France, which is a place was has always been secure over there, that 84 of them, young children, women, men, that was the last time they would meet. Who would have guessed it? My question is, you have to always be ready. Whenever Christ comes knock. And we talk about scientists. What has to happen before Jesus come? And you people have always tried to predict what's going to happen. The pyramids of Egypt. Scientists have taken rulers to measure the pathway through the pyramids. Every inch meant a year. And when they get to the end, they still can't make an educated guess. I think about some denominations. I know twice they predicted, this is the day God is coming back, and they actually prepared themselves. But the day has come and passed a couple of times. No man know the day nor the hour, and I'm glad it's like that. What happens when, remember that the hail Bob, that comet that circumnavigated and came close to the earth, and all we saw, we look in one direction, and that was we saw the tail of it. That meant something to some people. On that next trip, God was supposed to come back. We're still here. And I'm glad, and God planned it that way, that men cannot, scientists cannot, they are smart, but they're not smart enough, because don't you know when Jesus was human, he didn't know when he would come back. And it's a good thing. You know, but the truth is, there will be no hope for those who die without Christ. That's why we always have to be ready. There will be no hope for those who are unbelievers when Christ comes. 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter, verses 11 through 12, it says, for this reason God sent upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. Verse 12, in order that they all may be judged, and who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Some say that governments will be taking over and controlling people. They said when that happens, Christ is surely to come. That's already happening. It's not here yet. There'll be no second chances for those who have heard the truth and rejected it. That is why it is so important this morning to place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, do it and don't delay. Jesus told Zacharias that he was coming to his house. Notice his response in Luke 19:6. He said, "And he heard and came down and received him gladly." All I can tell you is that Jesus is coming. We will do as Zacharias did and joyfully receive him. Saints, we are ready for the Lord to return. Is our life walk with God what it needs to be? And I thought I would end there. But it's so much to this. Yes, Jesus may come today. The coming of Christ to the earth is imminent. It may occur at any moment, day or night. There is no single event prophesied in the Bible which must come to pass before Jesus returns. Why? Because all his prophecies really has been fulfilled. We know, we talk about, as far as we know, either political, economic, or spiritual needs to occur before Christ comes. No, it doesn't. It's already have occurred. Do we not need another war to be declared? Another gospel sermon needs to be preached? Not another soul needs to be saved before the Lord caught us up to meet him in the air for the marriage supper in heaven? The signs of the times have already happened and still happening. Let us stop looking to the TV or newspaper for signs of the coming of Christ. How many times have we seen, just this, like last week, God had the ability to go to the highways and somebody was there to take a shot of a person on a ride in a motorcycle that had an accident. His life passed, he passed right there. And you saw his spirit rise up. Everybody said, I just don't want y'all to see this. This is something. But we as believers in Christ, it's amazing to us. It's miraculous to us to be able to see, but it doesn't change who we are. We believed it before we saw it. So people always looking for TV, they're looking for events. They look at the fire that California's had and other states look like half the state is on fire. Then you go across a few states over, it's flood of water. If they take that water to wash on the ship it to California, they can put out to quench the fire. But, you know, it's so much going on that we know that it's the last of the last days. The word tells us to watch and pray. Watch and pray. We see, we know what's going on because the Bible has, prophecy has already been fulfilled. But the thing is, it's imminent. Jesus' return is clearly stated by Jesus himself. The Bible is full of teachings about the second coming of Christ and related events. Those of us who take the Bible literally and believe it, all of it, are therefore prelineralists, expecting the literal, bodily, physical return of Jesus. And his reign upon the earth are foretold in scriptures. We have much more preaching to do, much to talk about. And that's one good thing. We as believers, knowing that Jesus could part those clouds any minute, we have to be on our feet continually, ready to spread the good news, ready to save a soul, bring a soul to repentance. We can't save them. We have to bring them to repentance. We can give them the word to encourage those who are distressed, those who are sick. We have to preach the gospel that Jesus has already declared our healing on the cross. There's so much to do, so much to be done. When we leave the house in the morning, we pray all that we pray for. We leave, Lord, we have given us everything we need to do to proclaim your name, to represent you before men. I go into a place and sometimes, and It's just nothing but a friendly smile. But you know, it's kind of hard to do now because, oh, after the years and age, I've gotten so many wrinkles, I have to really show my teeth now. But I've had people to come up and said, you know, your smile, how you, you know, and they would question you about that. And all I can say is it's all about Jesus. That's all I can say. And some of you, the Lord would give you the words to say. I walked up to people I didn't know and just giving them what the Lord has given me to tell them. And by doing that, the expression, be in the middle of an aisle in a store, and there was had them to jump for joy, and you look around, not a soul in the aisle. The store was crowded. That's Jesus. I've had been in restaurants, and we always, and we at the table, I remember a few times at the table, and we always pray, I don't care where we are, we're going to bless our food. And you know, I add some extra stuff, but this time based on my wife, and that we talk and pray for his sanctification and purification of it. And if some cook would hear me and be offended of that, I said, look, you have salmonella, you got stuff going on that you don't even know you have, but I'm protected under God's grace. And that's why I pray that way. And it takes care of everything. Lord, your sanctity, not the man's, not the cook's. I don't care what that kitchen can be, clean as a pen, but stuff happens. You know, and they get food in that's bad and tainted and all kinds of stuff. We know that. Organic stuff is having trouble with it now. You know, and this stuff is grown without all this other additive stuff, fertilizers and stuff. They use all natural stuff in there, but stuff is still wrong. That's why we just pray, Lord, you sanctified and you purified, and I'm going to eat it and enjoy myself. You know, but you don't have to be afraid not to go and visit and eat those places. But you know, whatever Jesus taught about the second coming, the point of this message was always this, that his coming is to be sudden, unexpected, and surprising, so that every Christian should be ready for his coming at any moment. That's why we keep saying Sunday after Sunday, you know, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. We always say coming soon. And you said, well, I love that song that, Jan, I'm picking on you again. Not picking on you, but before Sister Janice Spellman left God's Miracle Church, she used to sing, before she became famous, she used to sing this song, Tomorrow. And it's something about tomorrow. Don't put off today. You know, tomorrow must have a lot of time to it, because we put so much off that we could do today, we put it off for tomorrow. Tomorrow must be the longest day of the week. But see, we forget that tomorrow is yesterday's today. And we just can't put off. Same with our salvation, same with having a repentant heart, the same of giving your life to Christ. You just can't put off what you can do today for tomorrow, because Jesus may come tonight. Amen. And another thing about Jesus is that we don't know the time you're coming, because if he gave you a specific time, you know, we will act like we want to act like we don't care what we do. We do things that we shouldn't do and be tempted, because we know that Jesus says he's coming 12 o'clock Wednesday. So 11:59, I said, Lord, please accept me. I repent. I forgive. Please forgive me. Just like we think we're going all the time happen like the thief on the cross. You know, he did wrong all his life. And there is Jesus on the cross right beside him. He says, Lord, you know, I believe in you. He said, please accept me when you go. He said, this day you'll be in paradise. God is not guaranteeing us that moment. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through, I'm not going to read all that. Don't worry about it. 1 through 35. All those verses concerning his second coming. Then Jesus said, but the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but by the Father only. In verses 36, 6 to 51, the last 16 verses is the same chapter. Jesus earnestly urges the unexpectedness and imminence of his coming. And in verse 42, he says, "Watch therefore, be on alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." And in verse 44, he says, "For this reason, you also must be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will." The angels in heaven do not know when Jesus will return. Jesus, while in the flesh, he didn't know when he would return. Mark 13 and 32 says, "To take heed and keep on alert, for you do not know when the appointed time will come." Mark 13 and 37, he repeats it again, saying, "I say to you, I say to all, be on alert." Then in Matthew 25 and 13, it says the same thing, "Be on the alert then." One of the things that, you know, that's why we always, even though I know everybody's here, possibly giving their life to Christ, but you know, we can say it sometimes and until we believe the fact, but if we have not actually given our life, if I say, "Well, Jesus is coming back and he told me he's coming back at 1 o'clock, and if that time comes and you're just like y'all now, not repenting, not anything, and you know for sure that you'll go be caught up, it'll cause you to think. I says, "Now, am I truly ready?" You know, I'm thinking about, it says, even the righteous will barely make an end. But if that be the case, why wouldn't I let something like unforgiveness be the nugget that tipped that scale over to not being with Jesus in eternity? Why would I take that chance? Why would I take the chance of not being repentant of things that I have done in the past? You know, that's one thing I think that I'm going to add to when they say the doors of the church are open, you offer to extend the hand, the right hand of fellowship, and when you ask people who are not saved to come up. And I think that's a good thing. You continue to do that. But one thing I was going to add to that is repentance. Because I don't want nobody to take that chance every day. You know, I'm not going to say it's not going to keep you out of heaven. I'm not saying that. But we suffer a lot of things because we have unrepentant hearts. We suffer a lot of things and we have problems with things going our way because we hold grudges against people. We do things, we say things, we think things that's not godly, it's not right. But I don't like to take any chances. That's just me. So every day I get up, and sometimes during the day when I'm walking through the day, my thoughts are, "Oh Lord, that's not right." I said, "Lord, I repent of that thing, and I pray for the strength not to give into the flesh toward that thing again." Because you cannot do it yourself. That's why repentance is, to some people, it's hard. You said you turn away from it, but you can't just turn away from it yourself. You need God's strength to help this flesh that we have to re-entering whatever you're doing that was a sin. I can't do it yourself. So I'm asking you today. Everybody here saved, just raise your hand. Good. Anybody here that's straddled the fence a little bit? You're on the